All right, so I'm on with my brothers here. How are your brothers doing today?
Doing well.
Doing well.
All right, we're going to talk about overcoming. Oh, there he comes. Hey.
Hello, brother.
Hey, we just started working on an audio and overcoming. How are you doing?
Not bad, you?
We're doing great. You look like you're still on the job?
No, I'm just walking back to the house here.
Oh. Well, as soon as you can, jump on with us. We're talking about overcoming.
All right. Where's Brother Cool?
He's right here.
Hello.
Oh. Sorry, I'll jump on in a minute or two.
He's in the co-pilot seat. Okay, brother. Talk to you then. All right. So let's look at this idea of overcoming. How do we overcome? Well, first of all, maybe we should identify what overcoming is. What do you think? What do you guys think it is? Or I should say biblically, let's define it. Looking at scripture, overcoming. It's used quite a bit in the scriptures. There's overcoming and there's overcometh. Overcoming, I think, is used just a few times. Overcome, if you're doing a word search. Overcome is used like 13 times in the New Testament. Then there's overcometh and overcoming. But I'll read one here. Let's see. Oh, yeah, see, yeah, when you put up the word overcome, yeah, that actually isn't used all that often, is it? I mean, the famous one is Revelation 13, 12. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. I love that. He shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of the heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So that's pretty cool. We're going to get a white rock with our new name. And then we're going to get a new name that's God's new name. That's awesome. There's a lot of new naming going on. Good thing we're used to new names.
Oh, yeah.
So let's look at that word. That word's overcometh. So you guys can look at some other words or other verses with that. To subdue. That word is nikeo. To subdue. To conquer. To prevail. To get the victory. To carry out the victory. Of Christ, victorious over all his foes, to win, to maintain one's cause. Kind of sounds like, does that sound like endurance? Does that sound like endurance to you, overcoming?
Yeah, it's almost
like... It sounds like the result of endurance.
Yeah, very good. It's the result of endurance. Brother Cool, what were you going to say?
It's like a, it's almost like a diligent, like, action of subduing. It's like endurance in subduing, I guess, like the diligent act of subduing.
I like how Brother Purgo said it. It's like the result of enduring. It's like, what do we endure? Trials. Yeah. Then we endure them. So we have trials. Does this sound right, brothers? So we have trials. We endure them. And when we endure trials to the end, we've overcome them. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Brother Zelos? You just jumped on. What do you think, Brother Zelos?
I guess I'm pondering that a bit because to endure something and kind of write it out might work for some trials, but for other trials and temptations and things like that, overcoming would mean you actually overcome them to where they really won't affect you that much of the trial anymore. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, there's all different kind of trials. So some you could put behind you, some you can't. I was thinking of like John 16:33, one of my favorite verses, where Christ said, Behold, I've spoken to you that in ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the world was something that kept coming at Christ while he was here on earth. He had to endure through it. He eventually overcame it. Obviously, the main thing that he overcame is death for us and sin. So I think you're right. It depends on some things you can endure and put behind you. Some things you never can. Ready? Your flesh. You're never, ever this side of heaven going to completely put your flesh behind you. You're going to have to endure it and overcome it till you're no longer need your flesh when you die or the Lord returns. That make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
But some things you do, some things, I mean, think of an example of what you can overcome. Here's one, looking back at your past. Maybe you're a new Christian and your past, I was telling Brother Purgos this on our audio this morning. I don't know if we got this on the audio. We talked a little bit before we started the audio. So he left Wisconsin to move. When he got in his car and just started driving the first 5 miles, or when Brother Akuo left his town, when you started driving the first 5 miles, could you look in your rearview mirror and still see it right behind you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And that's, it's right there. You can't help but see it. You're like thinking about it. If you look back, you're like, oh, it's right there. And then if you go 100 miles, or you go 300 miles, or you go 3 months, is it right behind you now? It's further away. Mm-hmm. So the further you go from your past, the further it is behind you, and you can basically overcome it. Is that what you're talking about, Brother Zealous?
Yeah, in a sense, I guess we'd have to define what we're talking about overcoming. Like, would it be like trial is kind of a very broad word. Like, is that temptation?
Well, it means subdue.
Is that your flesh? Is that so?
It means subdue. Like here, let's look at that word in John 16:33. I think it's the same word. Yeah. Nikeo. It means to subdue, to conquer, to prevail against, to get the victory.
Mm-hmm.
To become victorious and of Christ victorious over all his foes. Win the case, maintain. So it's got the semblance of endurance to it. And we know Christ had to do it right to the end, right? That's how we ultimately overcame his death. And then his resurrection.
Yeah.
Right?
I was listening to Hebrews today for a time, and it pleased God to make Christ perfect through suffering, and he also had to endure and overcome.
Amen. Amen. So now that we know what overcoming is, it's to subdue something, to endure either. So you can either endure to defeat it or endure it to the end. If you can't defeat it, it's always there. Here's one. Ready? How about this one? Satan's attacks against us. You're never going to overcome those completely and stop them in this life. But you have to endure through them. And how do you overcome? At the end. You're never going to stop him. He's always that roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Right?
Yeah, I guess that's why it says to love not our lives unto the death.
Amen. How about you and I are married? How about marriage? You can never tell me that you were successful in your marriage until it's done. You can't say it today, because you haven't finished it yet. You're successful to this point, but that's like saying, well, I've been a successful Christian to this point. Hey, how long have you been doing it? 3 years? Okay, keep going. You got a long way to go. I do too. So it all depends on kind of what we have to overcome and endure. Some things we can put away behind us. Other things we must keep overcoming. So to subdue, to conquer, to get the victory. So let's talk about how do we do that in this Christian life? What do you guys think? What do you brothers think? How can we get the victory over the things we have to face?
1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen. What's that? What is that word overcome? Is that Nikeo in that verse?
That is...
I think it is.
3:5-8. Yes, Nikeo.
Yeah, Nikeo. So it's the same type of overcoming. So read that verse again, brother.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
So, Brother Cool, how does that help you to overcome by knowing I'm born of God? What does that do for you?
Well, it reinforces the fact Christ already overcame the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we place our faith in he that overcame the world. He gives us the strength to subdue the world. Just by our faith being born of God, we have a spirit to help us.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like who's behind us.
Yeah.
Right? It's like when you get sent out as a messenger from the king, you're just a messenger, but you're like, wait a minute, I'm serving the king. This king's got a huge army. He can call all these men to come and back up what he says. And so it gives you empowerment, doesn't it, to be born again? Doesn't that kind of give you a sense of empowerment, brothers?
Yeah, I guess that would be the word, because as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and that would entail overcoming.
Yeah, yeah. So we overcome by being born again in Christ by the gospel. We all know and preach the gospel all the time. How else do we overcome? What's some other ideas on how we can overcome? All of us have different trials. How are we going to overcome them?
I guess in a practical... Sorry, what?
No, go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, Brother Zealous.
In a practical sense, some trials and temptations, trials are kind of a big word, so trials, temptations, everything that comes against us, the accuser of the brethren, some of them we need to flee the way that Joseph fled, and some of them we need to withstand and conquer within ourselves. Some practical ways of doing that would be like you would flee the situation that is putting you into sin.
Okay, wait, hold on. Give us an example. Put some skin on that. Give me an example of that.
Okay, so let's say you know you have a weakness that stumbles you. You would flee the situation. Let's say you used to be an alcoholic. You would flee the situation that puts you in that. But you would also have to overcome your addiction through faith in Christ and crucifying the flesh.
So I'm an ex... I'm an ex-alcoholic, and I have an apartment over a bar, and I can smell the booze, I can hear the music, and at night it's drawing me there. I've got to flee that. I can't sit there and overcome it while it's right in my face. I can smell it, I can hear it, I can see it. I got to flee that. But just because I flee it doesn't mean the issue is no longer upon me. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you need to overcome it within yourself, but you also should not remain in a place that is tempting you to sin.
Yeah. So it's like a twofold thing. Get out of the immediate danger and then overcome that which is within you. Can I offer this? People that leave false religious bodies, some of them see the need to leave because they're false. They flee and they leave, but the religious body's ways stay inside of them, doesn't it?
That'd be a good example as well.
And they have to overcome that and get out of that. So now we see like different stages of what we have to overcome. So we talked about being born again to overcome. How about...
about faith.
Go ahead, Brother Purgos, go ahead.
We talked about faith being helped to overcome.
Right.
And the most important thing is leaning on Christ.
Amen.
I like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Amen. Amen.
Every kind of.
Yeah. And you know what, brothers? This is backed up by one of my favorite sections in John in chapter 15, where Christ tells us we can do nothing without him. That should humble us. That should tell us, you know what? There ain't nothing we can do eternal without Christ. So everything that we're doing is of him, by him, through him, with him, for him. None of it is of us. So when I laugh at people when they say, you're working your way to salvation, I'm like, you can't be serious. I can't do anything I do without my Savior. I need his word. I need his spirit. I need him to give me repentance. I need to be born again. I need his grace to walk in holiness and obedience, and I need more of all of that to endure. How can I do that on my own? That you might as well tell a man he can be married on his own. I don't have a wife. That's okay. You can go be married. It's like, what? I need a wife. I need a covenant partner, right? Nah, just go ahead and pretend. It doesn't work that way. So we need Christ as the other part, that strong part of the covenant, right?
Oh, yeah. So here's a question to toss out there. How do we overcome within ourselves?
Well, I have an answer, but I'm going to let someone else answer. Brother Kuo, any ideas? Overcome that which is within yourself.
I would say overcoming what is within us, it also comes with, it's the same thing, what is within us. It's like the Spirit of God, if you're born again, is within you. Christ is living within you. His word is dwelling within you. You meditate on his word all the day long. So just thinking about his precepts, his commandments, Thinking about what he wants for you, not what you want for you, and just dwelling in that, living in that, I think that's how you overcome what's inside of you, like your flesh. I think that's the biggest thing you can do anyway.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. I was going to go to the flesh. We could read Galatians 5 where it talks about no longer live in the flesh and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But how about Hebrews 9:14? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So I think we got to purge our flesh. And the Spirit helps us, the Word helps us, and we got to purge it so that we no longer walk in it, because all of our imperfections are going to be magnified if we walk in the flesh. And we must walk in the Spirit.
So overcoming kind of sounds like sanctification.
Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%. Making yourself more complete and mature, on the road to perfection, and overcoming things as you go.
So you did an audio a while ago when sanctification stops. So basically when you stop overcoming, you stop being sanctified. When you stop repenting and seeking truth and obeying God's word, which is what overcoming consists of, it kind of goes hand in hand, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would say 99% yes. I would imagine there's that one area where if you're not in sin and maybe you struggle to not overcome something that maybe isn't directly sin, I wouldn't say that the sanctification process stops. I think it only stops when you sin. So, I think it's a 30, 60, 100 situation. You may, on one given day, overcome and shoot out and a mile forward. And another day, you may overcome and in your faith life, you go half a mile forward. And then you may, on a given day, go, wow, I've really depleted my energy. I can barely hold on here today. I'm just going to hunker down, wait on God, look to the light, and wait. You don't go backwards. You're not living in sin. But you haven't really overcome anything. I wouldn't say the sanctification process stops, but I think that's a rare, odd thing that happens. For the most part, I would have to agree with what you said, that if we don't overcome, we're probably going backwards in sin or letting sin stay too close to us. I would agree with that. What do you say about that, Brother Purgos?
Two verses actually came to mind of overcoming internally. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, always relying on the Lord.
Amen.
That's what I get out of that. And then...
yeah, let me just say, while you're looking up the other verse, so we're looking to the Lord. He's our strength. We can do nothing without him. We can overcome because he's overcome. We're riding off of the power of God, his word, his Spirit, and that is how we're ultimately going to put down our flesh and overcome all these things. It's through the power of Christ, giving us the power to overcome all things. We try to do it in our own will, what's going to happen?
We're not going to be able to please God.
Yeah.
Because those in the flesh can't please God.
Amen, brother. What was your other verse?
Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
It's not just, I'm not going to slip into alcoholism. I'm not going to slip into alcoholism. It's, I'm going to go share my testimony with someone. I'm going to go edify my brother. I'm going to go.
Hey. That's a great point.
I've got a passage here that might be that might fit in this about overcoming and what happens when you don't overcome, or even speaking of a situation, if you overcome something but you would just linger there and not keep striving. Test me here to make sure I'm not taking this out of context. So Luke 11, when they were accusing Jesus of casting out devils by Beelzebub, he said, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided the spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. So I guess the two thoughts on that would be that I have, if I'm not taking this out of context, test me here, is that we overcome because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's basically the stronger one, the Holy Spirit that comes within us, helps us overcome our flesh and whatever else we might be battling. But amen. Then we need to basically take that space that we've overcome. And like, I think this would kind of allude to what Brother Purgos was saying. We fill our life with doing good so that it doesn't turn back to being worse with us than before.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. We have to push forward, and we overcome by faith, and then our life gets filled up with good works because of that faith and what God's doing in us. I think of overcoming like climbing a mountain, getting to the top. And the pinnacle would be death, or the Lord returns and you get to go be with him. So the top of the mountain is the pinnacle. On the journey is many trials. So let's say you're climbing that mountain and there's a giant rock slide. And you scramble and you get out of the way of the rock slide. That could be your flesh. It could be enemy attacking, whatever. You get out of the way of the giant rock slide and it all slides by you and you go, wow, I survived that. That's awesome. And then you pitch a tent right there and you never keep going. You overcame one onslaught, but you got a lot more to go and you haven't got the ultimate goal yet.
Yeah. Has somebody read Romans 12:21?
No. Feel free.
That's what I just read.
Oh, you did read that. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say Romans 12. My bad. Read it again.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yep.
You guys read that already?
Yeah, he did. Now that he says that, he did.
Yeah, so that's kind of...
So what... Put some flesh onto that. So we don't just overcome evil. We do good as a part of the overcoming it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's kind of, the context here would be how to deal with people who are, this is another trial. Not all trials are within us. Some of the trials we have to overcome are outward trials. Let's say persecution or dealing with people. And you cannot overcome that by returning evil for evil. You have to overcome evil with good.
Amen.
You can't beat, because if you do the same thing that they're doing, you're no better than they are you?
Right. And Brother Purgos, we talked about that today. How would we do that? What the two things that we do to always know which one what to do?
The two greatest commands: love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yeah, there's our guide right there.
They talk about if you salute those who salute you, what are you doing more than the publicans?
Yeah, yeah. So there's our guide, the two great commands: love God, love our neighbor. That guides us in how to overcome evil and do good.
For some reason, Ephesians 2:10 popped into my mind. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. For some reason, that popped into my mind.
Yeah. Well, here, speaking of Ephesians, I got an idea. Brother Cool, any thoughts while I'm looking at Ephesians here about how have you overcome things? And what scriptures have been paramount to you to do that?
Let's see. I suppose, yeah, it is overcoming evil with good. Instead of filling your time thinking about your flesh, what other people are doing around you, instead you focus on the Lord, edification of the saints, how you're going to minister to other people today. And it's kind of like you have the mind of Christ. You're meditating on the word of the Lord all the day long. You just have it at the front of your mind all the time. And it's, you don't have to be constantly, because sometimes you can't think of all the verses, but just meditating on the good, pure, true, holy, acceptable,
Amen.
All the day. That's, yeah.
What did Brother Zello say the other day about the Old Testament, the animals, the sacrifices were always consumed? Yeah. So would you say your life is being consumed by the truth of God?
Oh, yeah.
And can you do that? Can you do that part time?
No.
It's like being married part time. Yeah. Hey, I'm committed to my wife half a way. Yeah. 3/4 of the way. And that's why it doesn't work with brethren that don't want to come and commit all the way to Christ and the people of God. It doesn't work when they commit halfway or not at all. It just doesn't work. I wanted to bring this up, if I could, while anybody's looking up any other scripture verses. Brother Zelos did a teaching on the armor of God. I think we can't go around that without talking about how to overcome. Ephesians 6, let me go through it real quick. Ready? Take on the whole armor of God. I'm just going to abbreviate it so we don't read the whole thing. So you can withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. I love that. So what do we do? How do we overcome, brothers? Our loins are girded with truth. Where do we get the truth from?
The word of God.
Amen.
The Spirit confirming it.
Amen. And then our breastplate that covers, as Brother Zella said, our vital organs is righteousness. And we're doing what's right in the sight of God and his word. And your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of the peace. So we're lingering in the gospel. We're moving forward to proclaim the gospel. We're not sitting still. We're not a sitting target, sitting ducks, as the world would say. We're moving. I used to duck hunt. Okay. I used to duck hunt. When you would shoot, we wouldn't do this, but I knew guys that did it. When you'd find ducks sitting on the ice, you'd think they're easy to hit.
Yes.
Bam, they're shot. Ducks come flying by going 60 miles an hour right across your blind. You know how hard they are to hit when they're moving? They're a hard target to hit. So we're moving with the gospel of peace. It's on our feet. And then shield of faith, our faith. Every day we're striving in it. It's our shield to help us overcome right there with the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the helmet of salvation protects our really important part of our head. You get a blow to the head, you're going to maybe go down real quick. Salvation, that's also part of the gospel. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we're always sharpening ourselves with that. And the last part is praying always. So how does Ephesians 6 tie into this with our battling, doing good, enduring, and overcoming? That's pretty important, isn't it?
I guess those are the weapons with which we use to overcome within us. So we've been talking about what we have to overcome and how to do it, but that's the means which we use.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Sister, can you help me? Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Hold on. My phone. Okay, sorry. My recording phone was going. Did you see that, brother? Yeah, my recording phone was going crazy. Oh. Lights and everything blinking and flashing all over. I don't know what I touched. It's okay, sister. It seems like it settled down. I don't know what that was. Technical difficulty in the studio, which is the front of my van sitting in the driver's seat. Anyway, so anything else on overcoming?
When you read the Old Testament, this is especially prevalent in all the Psalms. To overcome anything, anybody, any situation, it requires a huge amount of trust in the Lord. Because you cannot overcome anything. With the Lord, you can overcome anything. Without him, you can't. It kind of just ties back to, without me, you can do nothing, but you trust in the strength of the Lord, not your flesh, to overcome. Just in case that hasn't been said yet.
Amen. I think the strength, I like knowing the word of God, knowing the truth, having the Holy Spirit bring that to our remembrance. That's really the strength, the power of God. Just to overcome the flesh, like through his word, through his commandments, and yeah, that's.
I think a great way to put the whole overview on overcoming is keep our eyes on Christ. He overcame for us by his shed blood and his death and his word and his spirit. And if we just keep our eyes on Christ and doing what he's called us to do, we will overcome. I think we get in trouble when we take our eyes off Christ. We put our eyes on our problems. We put our eyes on what we're standing against. Yeah. We put our eyes on the enemy. We put our eyes on issues in the body. We put our eyes on what we can't do. We put our eyes on, this is so hard. I think these people that we talk to, you know, you talk to them, the people that maybe want to come join the body. Oh, that's going to be hard, they say. Do you notice that? They look at what's hard. They're not looking at Christ.
It's true.
Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at the storm, you're going to sink.
Yeah, exactly. Good example. Yeah. Anything else on overcoming before we end this audio, this section? Any other verses, any other thoughts?
That was all I had.
Brother Purgos?
That's all I can come up with right now.
Brother Kuo?
I think just to end it out, I have just a couple of verses about the promises when we do overcome.
Oh, that's good.
So in Revelation. So Revelation 3, verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And I found it interesting that he'll confess before the Father, before his angels. Back in Matthew 10:32, Jesus also says he'll confess those before the Father who confess him before men.
Yeah.
So I think that's really
like cool. A double confession.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the second verse, Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So it's all his glory. We'll be casting our crowns at his feet.
But, amen.
Yeah.
And as Brother Purgos and I talked about, it's like everywhere you read, it's always something we do. Because of what Christ did, it's always what we are doing. It's not we just look at everything he did and we do nothing. We look at what he did and then we act because of what he's done. We have much to do. Amen, brothers?
Amen.
Yeah, we're not working our way to heaven, but we're working for the one that made our way. He's overcome. And so because he's overcome, we also must overcome. Just makes sense. He says we can do it. He's given us the promise. So we walk forth and we do it. So it's nice to have brothers to help each other overcome. Isn't that awesome?
Indeed.
Here's another one. I just thought of that when you just said that. Remember when the children of Israel were walking and Amalek was attacking them in the rear, and then Joshua summoned the men of Israel and they went to fight, and then Moses was standing with the staff outstretched, and then Aaron and Hur had to hold up his hands.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really good archetype of this. While Moses had his hands lifted, Israel would prevail. When Moses' hands would lower, Amalek would prevail. And Amalek, I think, would be an archetype of sin and the enemy and everything we're fighting to overcome. And it's kind of prayer and keeping our hands raised to heaven, to the Father, from where we get our strength. When we slack off in all of that, Amalek will prevail in our life.
Yeah.
When we don't grow weary in prayer and well-doing, we will prevail against Amalek.
Amen.
I think that just popped into my mind.
Yeah. Amen. That is a great archetype. The more we study the Word of God, the more archetypes we see, old to the new. And it really kind of pulls everything all together for us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Good stuff, brothers. This audio will be up to edify everyone in the Ecclesia gathering area. Thanks for all your input. God be glorified in it.
Amen.